Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 21st November 2024, Thursday class. Today we need to start a bit late because there is a very heavy jam caused by not only the rain, but multiple car accident. About 8 car, I think, were involved in a back-to-back. Must be some condition on the road that leads to the inability to brake in time. Okay, anyway, we were, as usual, gather and have our physical puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guanshiying Pusa. Namo Guanshiying Pusa. Namo Guanshiying Pusa. Namo Yao Shi Fo. Namo Yao Shi Fo. Namo Yao Shi Fo. Namo Wen Shu Pusa. Namo Wen Shu Pusa. Namo Wen Shu Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dvitiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dvitiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dvitiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Amesu micchacara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama datana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will chant from the Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina di loka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda gunung. ตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบดังกุสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมเตนะเจโหตุมุขังปุพังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาพิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริกาปิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโภชานังปาริกาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมัง Now we are chanting the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all this.Puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pureDhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Bhutang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Continue to relax, maintain awareness.And stabilize the awareness. The main intent of this awareness-based meditation is to develop your ability to detect your silent mind, or what we call your true mind. Well, this silent mind is actually your true mind. Without thought, You are already with the true mind, the awareness nature. So when you are developing awareness, don't try to arise the thought. Because the moment you are without thought, that is your true mind. So realize that. So the fourth support is to help us achieve the realization of the true mind. When you relax, you don't think. When you maintain awareness, you also don't think. Then when you allow it to settle down, to stabilize, you also don't think. Then I always instruct you, when you are doing the awareness-based meditation, don't try to know, don't try to do, because the doing and the knowing is always by our thought process. How do you know things? You know things through your thought process. You have to perceive, then go to memory to retrieve, to develop the knowledge, to recall all the conditioning. Then the one that is doing things is also the same, without thought, without the thought process being active, there is nobody there. So this understanding is very important. The egoic mind, which is the thought, they come from the sakyadity, from our own consciousness creation. When the thought arises to our brain memory, they accumulate and we input the content of consciousness, then it triggers and develops a thought. Without the content, there is no thought. And before one's develop wisdom or understanding, you normally will have that so-called sakyadity or self-delusion, or we call the egoic mind. You can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankayo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang asambuddho vijja charana sampanno สุขโตโลกาวิโดอนุตโรปุริสธรรมสารติสัตตาเดวามนุสานังบุตโตภะคะวะติสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันติติโกอาการิโกเอหิปัสสโกปานายโกปัจจัตังเวทิตาโบเวโนหิติสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาติทั้งชัตริปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอะหุเนโยปะหุเนโยตะกิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระณีโยอนุตตรังปุญญังเตตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ We are now continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code, as written by me. We are at Unique Code 138, which is on page 38 also. Okay.Before we come to this Unique Code 138, I would like to go back our earlier two codes as a revision. Unique Code 136 and Unique Code 137. This one will help you understand the true mind better, or what we call the inner nature, ourBuddha nature or the awareness nature. The difficulty about learning the Dhamma which is not taught is what we call understanding that basically as a living being or for our case is a human being. We have two minds.Understanding that we have two minds is very important. That's why this unique code, the reason why I call it unique is because it is truly unique. These are codes that my nature develops and realizes. Then I share them through my Dhamma sharing and teaching.To help living beings or cultivators of the way to develop true understanding of what that true mind is. Just now we mentioned there are basically two minds within the living beings. But most living beings, they only familiar with one type of mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind.Or what we call the condition arising, dependent originating mind. And that one, most people, they only know how to use it, but they don't know what that thing is also. Then the worst is, most living beings, especially non-cultivator, they don't even know that they have a true mind within.Another mind. And these two minds are very unique in their character. So maybe I use the whiteboard to withdraw something and explain before I go in, to let you develop the understanding of the code. So basically, living being has two minds. One, the mundane mind. Or people who are more familiar, you call it the thinking mind. And the second one is your true mind. So sometimes people call it by various names. Sometimes they call it our pure awareness nature. Then sometimes they call it by another name, Buddha nature, or our silent mind. So these are various words that are being used to define what these two are. So what you need to understand is, initially, that you have a thinking mind, or what we call the mundane mind. So this thinking mind or mundane mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, in the sense that this mind is not the true mind, because dependent on thing it arises. When there is condition, it manifests. Without condition, nothing happens. So what happens is, as a living being, the moment we are born, you look at the four circle formation. This one is the oneness nature, the true nature, or what we call the Buddha nature. Then some teaching, they call it the Penlai the Mianmo, especially Mahayana teaching, which is the original nature, means the source before things arise, the beginning. From there, everything starts. That's why this one is a very unique understanding. This one, only the Buddhist teaching has this style, very unique understanding. That's why this teaching, when my nature develop the realization and teach, I call it the unique code. It's because it is to explain this teaching. Then the first thing to come out from this nature is the pure awareness nature, which is your true mind. So from here, everything starts. The creation process starts. So from the true mind, why do we call this true mind also the silent mind? The pure awareness nature, or your Buddha nature, or whatever. But it has no word, no concept, nothing. It's just a nature inside that. And its character or characteristic is aware. And it can only be aware. It doesn't do anything else. And because it can only be aware, it is very unique. So this true mind, as the word project or portray, you need to understand it. Where this is the real mind. From here, the mundane mind arises. So you can understand this. From the silent, all things arise. So from these two minds, which is also called the silent mind, when you are without thought, without chattering, without verbalization, when your mind is completely quiet and still, that is your true mind. Always remember that. That's why when you meditate, you don't try to do the wrong thing. Awareness-based meditation is not thought-based. You don't arise the thought. This one, mundane mind or thinking mind, has a lot of thought involved. So this one is dominated by thought. And when you understand this, you can meditate very easily. So silent mind means Don't try to know, don't try to do, don't try to create thought, don't try to think, don't try to verbalize, don't try to develop any chattering, inner chattering. That's why completely relax, aware. Aware means pure awareness nature. It's a nature. Like I said, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness nature. You can only be this nature. This one is no duality, nothing one. You cannot talk about it. You cannot name about it. It's just a nature. So the unique characteristic of this two mind is very important. Because of its unique characteristic, if you understand that you know from this silent, or what we call pure awareness nature, whatever movement, the stirring, the thinking, the reaction to sense experience, because as a human being, 5 aggregate from my mind, we have the physical senses. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. Then upon contact within the sixth sense, every moment of sense experience, what happens is our mind stir and react. Why? Because of the mundane mind. The mundane mind create thought process, thinking through your accumulated memories, views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And this is how the process oscillates from the two mind to the thinking mind, to the mundane mind. But you have become so habitual, that's why you become so heedless, you think a lot. You forgot that you have a true mind, the silent mind. There you are seldom here. You are always lost in thought, heedless. And to be lost in thought means you are not aware. To be aware, you have to be in the state of silence without thought. Now can follow that? Yeah? Before I go into explain the code again. That's why this code is called unique code. It's very unique. It's how do you develop the unique understanding of how creation comes to be, how living beings come to be, how the phenomenal world of consciousness come to be, how you function as a human being, how your senses operate to enable you to know the world, to interact with the world. And consciousness is something that is very unique too in this universe. That's why now scientists try to develop and discover the missing link. They understand a lot of physical things, scientific things. They even know about quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and all the quantum theory that manifests the universe. And they probe the universe and all these things. And all this become possible is because of consciousness. Without consciousness, there can be no energy, no form, no mind. Nothing within the conditioned world can arise. So the other aspect that you need to understand is, when I say we have two minds, this is only peculiar when you come as a living being. For our case, it's a human being. Because this nature inside, our pure awareness nature, you must have the karmic nature to condition the arising of the form and mind. For one to come to the existential world, to live life within the existential world or conditioned world, you need a form of mind which is dependent on the karmic nature. So this karmic nature is the one that actually gives rise to this form of mind. As I always say, this 5 aggregate of form of mind is karmically conditioned for us to come to this existential world. Okay? So now you understand. So this existential world is very important. And this consciousness trapped within, that's why it can create sense door consciousness. It creates the mundane thinking, emotion, stirring, manifestation, everything. And this is how you understand who you are, what these two minds are. And when you can understand them and separate them to meditative experience, you transform, you become very different, you progress. Then all this that I teach and share become clear to you. Because the understanding comes from the understanding of this pure awareness nature. You need to go back, like I mentioned, the mundane thinking. You need to return all this to pure awareness. Stop all the thinking. Once all the thinking stop, then the pure awareness nature manifests. Basically, this is the primordial. Originally, it was this, the two pure awareness nature or the two mind. From here, all things arise. That's why Hui Ning, when he heard the fifth patriarch explain to him about this nature, the Buddha nature and the true nature, he said, how amazing that all Dhamma is not apart from that nature. That nature is already complete, everything. And it's very, very beautiful, very unique. So all the teaching can be comprehended or understood when you go through this type of training, awareness-based training, meditation. And this type of awareness-based meditation, nowadays in this world, wherever you go, very rare, you cannot find. Yeah. Not to say teach it, express it, and even explain. Because very few people can even come to that phase of understanding of what this meditation is all about. Most people are here. Thought-based meditation, creating a lot of energy field, psychic phenomena within the 31 plane of existence. They evolve around here. And some, sainthood way, they have a glimpse of what this nature is. Then cessation. But to go further, to develop this pure awareness nature until it becomes very beautiful to the Bodhisattva way, the gateway teaching, is very difficult and very rare. Yeah. Okay, so with this, I will now come back to the unique code, and hopefully with today's sharing, you can understand it much clearer and much better. So unique code 136. I proclaim and said, when one experiences the silent mind or the true mind, one will come to understand that without self-delusion, the true mind, which is already naturally peaceful, still and aware within, will not stir. Now you understand. If you look at this four circle formation, you will know. This is your pure awareness nature, which is your true mind. So what I mentioned here is very easy to understand now. When one experiences the silent mind, see? The pure awareness nature, which is also the true mind, the pure mind, or the Buddha nature, or the silent mind. So when one experiences this silent mind, means from the noisy, heedless thinking, you return everything to pure awareness to realize the silent mind. That's why our awareness-based meditation is to allow you to do that. Then when you realize the silent mind or the true mind, you will come to understand that without sakkayadity, self-delusion, believing that this five degree of form and mind is you or a permanent unchanging entity or real, then your mind will not stir. That is the beginning of wisdom. The stirring of the mind, the movement from there, come from wrong view, sakkayadity, wrong thought, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. and it manifests through wrong understanding or wrong view. Then from there, you create the five mental hindrances. You create all the emotion that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that's how you entangle yourself karmically. Yeah. So understanding this unique code is very important. Then the next code is a follow-up. In the next code, unique code 137, I mentioned, when one awakens to that state, means you realize that true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness nature. So when one awakens to that state, this true mind, the silent mind, can see things as they are without words and conditioning. And this is how you become enlightened, understand that? So hopefully with this explanation, you can develop the clear understanding to meditate correctly and develop the clear understanding much more easily. So understanding what that pure awareness nature, which is equivalent to the silent mind or your true mind, is very important. So this part, maybe I draw it up. So this one is your true mind, your silent mind. So always remember, the moment you are silent without thought, you will realize your pure awareness nature. So to be aware, you don't have to do anything. The moment you arise a thought, the mundane mind become active, you cannot be aware. That's why don't try to be aware. But who is trying to be aware? The thought, which is actively trying to meditate, is trying to be aware. And when thought is active, how can you be aware? That is a clear understanding. That's why in the early day, I cannot share and teach all this because it will frighten people away. Yeah, all the teaching at that time was teaching you how to be mindful. And all the teacher, almost every one of them, you must note. You must develop and train yourself to become mindful. To be aware. The word is correct, but it's not a doing. It's not to develop awareness, not through a thought process. Don't try to be aware. Well, that one, that try, is the egoic mind. It's the thought. And when thought is empty, it cannot be in that state of awareness. Well, this is the state that arises to the silent. That's why I mentioned in the code, unique code 135. When one experiences the silent mind or the true mind, one will come to understand that without sakyaditi, the true mind, which is already naturally peaceful, still, silent, and aware within, will not stir. Now you understand. And why living being create a lot of emotion through stirring the mind and reacting to sense experience is because of sakyaditi, self-delusion, the fundamental avijja behind the arising of thought. That's why the first tooling of paticca sammuppada is to see how you create thinking through ignorance. Avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why without ignorance, you don't think, you don't create thought, you don't stir your mind, you don't create duality. So all this, hopefully, with today's explanation, it becomes clear, very clear. Okay, then now we continue with our unique code today, which is 138. While cultivating daily mindfulness, do not try to be aware or to know. The moment you are in sati, your form and mind will develop the understanding. So this one is very important. When cultivating daily mindfulness, don't try to know. Because that knowing is by the thought, by the mundane mind. When mundane mind is active, you cannot be in the state of sati. Then this sati is very strange. You only need to continue to silence your mind and develop the awareness. To be aware means you must anchor this awareness initially to one of the four foundations that the Buddha has taught us. The first foundation is kaya, kaya nupasana, means you develop mindfulness of all your kaya activity, means your physical activity, your physical movement, action. Like the Buddha mentioned in the Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana Sutta. He says standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware, turning, bending, stretching, looking forward, answering nature's call, or whatever you do in life, maintain awareness, even putting on the shoulder cloth, answering nature's call, everything aware. Means, no need to know, no need to do anything, just maintain awareness. Like I say, relax, flow naturally with nature. That's why you, when you are able to flow with nature, you become aware naturally. Naturally aware. Then when you are able to be with your physical movement, kaya nupassana, body and mind is one, activity of your physical form and mind is one, then like bowing, walking, or whatever activity you do in your daily life, even as a housewife, your daily activity or household chores, all this you can develop them by just being aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment, aware. When you do it like bowing or walking, until the body and mind move as one, you will know. The form and mind will come to know when you are in sati. There is no thought. Everything is like, there is an awareness within that is in harmony with all your activity. Then later on, all your senses, they also transform. Like I said, when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, especially through kaya first, then you find it very easy to be mindful, to be aware. Then when you sit, you just relax. Straight away, you fall into that silent inner awareness. Then when that silent inner awareness stabilizes, you actually develop true sati. But that is the mind that has entered sati. And when the mind enters sati, you are with the true mind, the pure awareness nature. You are here. That's why you straight away come to the meditative state. Then after that, everything you observe or perceive through your senses is all in sati. That's why all your seeing or specific phenomenal awareness is in sati. All your hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and even the thought process coming up, your sati and awareness can follow. And this is how you develop the silent mind, the daily mindfulness, the stability of awareness. When you are most of the time aware, you are not lost in thought. You are not heedless, but you are alert. You are aware, and you can observe and see clearly what is going on in life. You can see things as they are. You can awaken to phenomena, the three types of phenomena, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. And through that, you will awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. which is anicca, dukkha, ananta. But this universal characteristic, they are inherent in all phenomena within nature. And nature has three basic phenomena to define them. Physical, we call it physical phenomena. Then we have the other one, mind, mental phenomena. Then the other one is, apart from our physical and our mental, we have the external nature's phenomena. That's why we have physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena. And that completes the whole understanding of the phenomenal world of consciousness. And all this understanding can be only developed through the pure awareness when you are here with the true mind. Otherwise you can't. That's why the uniqueness of this meditation, why the awareness-based meditation, the Buddhist-based, sati-based meditation is so different, so unique, and so powerful, is because it can take you back to that nature, which is really amazingly unique and amazingly beautiful. Yeah. And it's very powerful when you are here cultivating the bodhisattva with this whole nature inside your form and mind, around your heart area, it keep on opening up. And it keep on evolving and transforming your whole anatomy. Yeah. Of course, the internal movement refer to the inner chakra, nadis, everything. But this one is through awareness, not through the thought. There is no interference from the thought process, from memory, from your collected views, opinion, conditioning, and what we call accumulated memories and knowledge. That's why wisdom is not knowledge. Okay? So hopefully you all can develop the clear understanding. So we have finished code 138. Eh? So now you understand why cultivating daily mindfulness, you just do. Like walking, meditation, you just walk until body and mind move as one. Then you will know. The form and mind will know when you are in sati. Even when you do anapanasati or whatever meditation, when you anchor your mind to any object of meditation for you to develop awareness, then you can stay there. Until mind enters sati, means you realize the true mind, the silent mind, no more mundane mind. So when you realize that, then you become very different. Then unique code 139. Huh? One has to learn to accept people for what they are, to see things as they are. One has to come to terms with the reality of the moment, to accept what is. So this one we have gone through. Huh? This one I think by now is very easy to understand. When you are with your pure awareness nature or your true mind, you will be able to develop the direct seeing. You can see things as they are. Then when you see things as they are clearly, then you realize all of the phenomenal world or conditioned world, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why the Buddha called it the law of dependent origination or paticca samuppanna. And through his meditative awareness meditation, he realized what they are, the dwelling, without avijja, ignorance, or what we call wrong view. Your mind will not create the wrong thought. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara means ignorant condition sankhara activity. or what we call sankhara movements. And all this result in the reaction to sense experience, the stirring of the mind to become emotional. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Then from this sankhara, mental activity, we need the brain, because for you to think, to create brain activity or sankhara activity, you need to think. That's why in the school it's the same. When you study, your teacher always tell you don't understand, go back and think about it. Because to them, they only know one instrument, which is to think. Whatever you want to don't know, you think. Believing that only via thinking, you can understand. But wisdom cannot be understood through thinking. Thinking cannot give rise to wisdom. Thinking can only give rise to what we call knowledge. So what happened is, if it's not because of avijja, wanting to know, wanting to experience, and wanting to understand, you will not go and think. They get it confused is because thought is suitable for technical things, for technical knowledge, learning about maths, science, scientific understanding. Or we call it the physical, the law of physical activity. You see, the physical law that defines all physical things is called utu niyama. Then the biological order that defines all biological things is called bija niyama. So utu niyama and bija niyama, you can use thought, and you have to use thought to develop those knowledge, scientific knowledge, or the other type of understanding, like mathematical knowledge, even all the available subject of learning that we have gone through in our, through our education system, science, arts, which include humanity, everything. So all this, you need the thought process. So they confuse that with thinking. They believe everything you have to go to the thought. No. When it is mechanical things, or what we call physical thing and biological thing, then you can think. But when it comes to mental, psychological, you shouldn't think. You need wisdom to resolve it. Because we are thinking, it will get you more entangled, more confused, and you become cuckoo. You know what is cuckoo? You become depressed. You enter depression. You think a lot. The more you think, the more afflicted you are, the more angry you are, the more deluded you are, the more selfish, lustful, violent. All these emotions arise through thinking. That's why all the psychological memory, you must not store them. You must not hold on to them through memory. Otherwise, they become scars of memory in your brain. And it triggers fear very fast. Your insecurity, your lack of understanding, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your guilt, your remorse. All these are psychological memories. They are not mechanical memories. And if you start to approach them, you get yourself more entangled. Because avijja paccaya sankhara, that's why the Buddha knew and he came out with the teaching. He says, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All thinking is only thought process, come and go. That's why it's impermanent. And you attach and cling, and one thing's your way, which is not in accordance with nature's way or nature's law, then you suffer. That's why sabbe sankhara dukkha. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why you say sabbe dhamma, both the conditioned and the unconditioned world. They are not real, not you. Anatta in nature. It's not a being. Even the pure awareness nature, it's not a being, it's not you. You don't go and think that you can return to the source and that source belongs to you. No. The oneness nature is a nature, nothing to do with the individual self, which is Sakkaya Ditthi. So understanding this is very important. So when you are able to understand all this through the pure awareness nature's direct seeing, then you develop that type of wisdom. Everything is just the way it is. We are conditioned will follow the law, the nature's law that governs life and existence. And the five, Pancha Niyama, define them all. The first two are scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Vijaya Niyama. Then we have the Karma Niyama, law of karma. Then we have the law of mind, Chitta Niyama. Then we have the law of Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama. These five governs the whole operation of this universe. And the last three, Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, they are spiritual laws. So when you understand them, you excel in the spiritual field. That's why the Buddha became the fully enlightened one. He is not only enlightened. He is the fully enlightened one. Perfect in wisdom and virtue at that time when he arrived 2600 years ago as Sakyamuni Buddha. So through all this understanding, this unique goal 139 comes to be. I say, when you have this understanding, one can learn to develop the understanding to accept people for what they are. We are seeing things as they are. So when you can see things as they are, then you know everything is just the way things are. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Just like what the Buddha taught us. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already explained through the Pancha Niyamas. Especially the Karma Niyama under the fifth daily contemplation. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So whatever happened to you in life is never apart from karma. You cannot blame anybody else. You cannot see why God is so unfair. There is no such thing. You hold the key to your own life destiny because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are every instant, every moment because of your karma. So your karma, from your karmic nature, decide your life. So don't blame anybody for what happened. Then the second part of the code is, one has to come to terms with the reality of the moment to accept what is. This is wisdom. This is understanding. You have to come to terms with the reality. What is the reality? Reality is what is. And what is the isness of thing, the truth. So this word reality is very important. When you say seeing things as they are, that refers to reality. So this reality and the word what is, they are the same. What is or the isness of thing? If you have the wisdom, you will have the ability to understand what is. Then, like I say, you have to learn to see things as they are. Means to see the reality of life and existence. To see what is. What is the reality within life, within existence. But it follows nature's law, nature's condition. Condition like that, things be like that. Cannot be otherwise. Okay? Okay, we stop here. So at least today we cover another two quotes. But today's explanation is very important. I have actually used the unique way of understanding to explain today's sharing. Because I realize even until today, not many people, especially Buddhists, for Kamita, I think most of us would have understood, but not so clear. I always share with you all, we have two minds. One is the true mind. The other one is the mundane mind or the thinking mind, which is the thought process. And that one is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And that one arises like the blue arrow there. This blue arrow from the true mind is still react and arise. That's why it's dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. And this one, very active in human being. That's why living beings that are heedless, they think a lot. They are constantly lost in thought, entangled with the wrong thought, creating their own suffering through avijja, through ignorance. Now we continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. We can also discuss today's sharing or topic, which is very good. Unit code 136, 137, 138. In fact, from 135 onward. Sorry, 3637, then 38 and 39. We cover these two new ones.
Sekyoto Radio, Mr. Steele, and all Kalyanamita.
Sadhu.
Yeah. Is it clear enough?
Yeah, very clear. Now very clear, yes.
Oh, all right. Because it was raining, so the Wi-Fi is a bit affected. Radio, today's repeat the our understanding, make our understanding, especially regarding the true mind and the mundane mind.
Much clearer, isn't it?
Yeah, because it kind of really matched what I experienced.
And what you have gone through your cultivation.
Maybe I share what I have gone through, huh?
Sadhu, that would be very good. Yeah, very good.
The especially this understanding that Bharatiya always said, without thought, we are already in our true mind.
Sadhu, that one is very, very penetrative and important understanding.
Because what the experience was, I was quite relaxed and kind of doing nothing lah.
Then suddenly the shift of consciousness will happen. Then your awareness nature will realize what the thing is. Without thought, you are already aware. Why you want to try to be aware and strive using the thought to be aware? That's why in the early day, I always say, don't try to know, don't try to do, don't try to be aware. Just relax. Let it be. Naturally, it will be aware. Without thought, you are ready with the awareness. And that is before the knowing. That's why I say awareness is silent before the knowing. The pure awareness nature. And that definition, I need all these years to slowly, slowly come out with the sharing so that Kayamita can understand. But during the early days, I really realized very difficult for Kayamita at that time to accept what I say, because you all are so conditioned by the existing teaching. The existing teaching is all thought-based. You are taught to note. You are taught to do. You got method, you got technique, you got object of meditation. Then you got a lot of those, what they call sutra or sutta teachings. And the more complicated one is when they introduce all the thought-based method and technique and create a lot of confusion within the cultivation. So hardly anybody was doing it correctly, especially sati. That's why I refused to come out to share in the year 2007 when Yun Chan asked me to come out. I rejected him 3 times because of that. Then later on, my nature also realized it's time to come out. Then everything just happened. And because of that, over the years, I think you all did very well. I think you are the one that were most attentively able to capture what I say and store them in the computer. That's why when I wanted to compile the book, all this unique code, then you call me and say, Virtio, don't worry, I have them all. Oh, then you send to me, and that was meant to be in me. That's why you can understand. That time you can appreciate, you know, means you have your past, you have your affinity. Otherwise, most people cannot understand what I say at that time. I used to hint to Kayamita, whoever who can understand even 5% of what I share at that time, he is already not bad, or I should say, quite good already. Yeah. Very good, Envy. Yeah. Continue, you continue. Yeah.
Matthew, no lah, I don't have it all lah. I have some money lah.
Have it taken down, and from what you send to me, I came out with a book. Because I cannot carry all this thing in my memory. When condition is there, I will share, then finish. Then it's because you all, I think, keep those notes. Then when that condition manifests, where they realize all these unique codes are very powerful, very unique. So we decided to compile into a book. And then when all this came back to me, when I started to compile them, I realized, hey, I have shared so many, total 160 plus. And these are all very unique codes. And the word unique is not a overemphasis or the title. That's why it comes from all this unique understanding of the Dhamma. Otherwise, we cannot call it unique code. It's really unique. It's just like the Buddha. Why he used noble truth? He didn't want to use universal truth. He called it noble truth. Well, these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. And that's the beauty of his understanding. That's why when I was reflecting on what title to put on the book, I can only come out with that word, unique, Dhamma code. Very good. Amy, you continue.
It was Uposatha day. That day, I was lighted. I have lighted up the tea light, huh? So, after a few hours, I think about 3 to 4 hours because the tea light lasts about that time frame. So I was sitting around there nearby the Buddha Rupang, and then suddenly this gush of burning smell come to my nose, come
Oh,
to my
satu.
spiraling consciousness. So at that time,
Yeah,
just
it
smell.
trigger.
Yeah, it just smell, just smell like
Yeah, then from
no
there
words
it
on, like Brother
trigger.
Teo said. Yeah. So at the moment is just in the smelling consciousness.
That
So very
conscious,
fast.
then gone.
Yeah. Very fast. It go to the mundane mind already. Very fast. In the next second only, I think.
Split second, they say, because of our habitual accumulated thought process, memory, thinking, that habitual reaction to sense experience, to perceive it, to label it, and to arise the reaction to it. All this
Yeah,
become
so
very clear.
yeah, it's clearly like saying, oh, condition cease, no
Correct.
condition already.
Yes, you will realize that in that instant one. Then to have another knowing is another mundane mind must arise. Then you realize they are not connected at all. They are all dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Then that brings about a condition for me to share what I realized this morning when I woke up. I was still in the bed. Then suddenly the contemplation came, no? Because there was one instant where my awareness memory returned when I was very young. I was in my hometown. They call Simbangkola, Cakingdem. That time I was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. But very funny, I like my parents' shop. Outside, my two neighbors, I very familiar with them one. Then I remember I contemplated and reflected a lot, no? I live a major part of my life there. And that vision came back to me, very vivid, Then I was asking myself, how come this type of awareness can bring all this? Then I realized what I understood under today's unique code 139. The unique code 139, seeing things as they are, thing is just the way it is. It's very beautiful, such that. Then I started like contemplating, Then I recall my childhood experience when I was in Alostar, everything, The whole village, got 200 old families. Each and every one so unique, They are just the way they are, Then I later on came out and actually walked out to the window, the balcony there, to have a look. Then I saw all the houses, my neighbor, everybody. The very funny thing is, there is such harmony, Thing is just the way it is, And each and every of this family, most of them are deluded, don't have Dhamma. But they are just the way they are. And because of that, the world become what they are. The world is the world. It evolved until like that. Then all these conditions is like fall into place already, set already. Then even for me, with my nature there, staying, of course, in SS2, with the two house there, my nature will be very different. But it has its influence. But then it is just the way things are. Understand? Even with my family, my daughter. Then I realized I saw everything is just the way here. Not only PJ, not only Alastana, the whole world, our planet itself. Everything is like that. Of course, they have their first noble truth, reality, second noble truth, suffering, and all that. The reality of life and existence, the four noble truth, first two noble truth, everywhere, manifesting. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. That's why when you have the silent inner awareness nature, that silence is so different. And it can realize all these things, and you will come to know the world is the world. Whether your consciousness exists or don't exist, the world is the world. Condition like that, things will. But there is such thing as life, existence, living. And the marvel of creation, like our universe or our planet now, we are going through a phase which is very unique. I call it the golden decades, yeah, the golden era, where you can witness so many things. Of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything is in one. And my nature also reflected and contemplated life, reality is so beautiful. Why make it ugly? Living beings that don't have the Dhamma, being confused, deluded, they create their own ugly world, their suffering world. Those who have the Dhamma, they get to understand and develop the understanding to live the other type of world, which is wonderful existence. That's why I say, if you have the Dhamma, you can realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life. You can get to experience life to the fullest. And you can do what you want to do in life. You can try whatever that you want to develop as understanding, yeah, or manifest your vows and all those things to help humanity and do whatever that your nature wants to do. So all this fall into place and become so beautiful. No? That's why today's sharing is also like meant to be. And my nature really rejoices that many Kayamita can understand, especially you, Ingvi. You continue. Sorry, I take out your time.
Yes, Sadhu Bratio, for your beautiful contemplation this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. When I realized the thinking mind already arise, that condition cease. So like Bratio said, all these are condition arising.
Yeah.
So like how to say, like automatically, the eyes look up. Want to find out
correct.
What happened.
Correct.
The eyes, the mind, like wanted to find out what happened, what is the sound from,
yes,
or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can see how the mind stir already.
Sadhu, very good.
So actually, true enough, the tea light that I offered in the morning already burnt out already.
Yeah,
no more flame
yeah,
already.
No
yeah.
More fuel. Yeah. It like cease, yeah, it cease.
Yeah. So, the mind from very quiet mind, like the true mind quiet, and then silent mind suddenly just say,
yeah,
oh,
manifest.
Condition cease, and then look
correct.
Up some more.
Correct.
To want to confirm my own assumption or
yeah,
what.
Yeah.
That's
why what you
brain, yeah.
You give a sharing just now was very good. When the oil lamp burn out, that last flash, there is a very strong smell. That consciousness, that smell consciousness, actually is very, very transforming. That's why you realize from there, the thinking mind arises, it's still already. These are called what we develop as wisdom, dependent originating, condition arising mind. So without the condition, there is no such consciousness. Then when that consciousness arrives, because you are aware, that's why there is joy, there is understanding, Then you see the clarity of mind movement, the mundane mind that arises from that true nature. Before that, like you say, everything was quiet, still, nothing. Then suddenly, one phenomena, it creates the movement really. Then the mundane mind with its habitual tendency, views, opinion and condition, starts to develop the movement. But for your case, because you have the Dhamma understanding, that's why you have joy, you can see. Then that Paticca Samuppada cannot draw you away, cannot deceive you, delude you, and create the same old habitual movement later. Because through all this experience, when you start to see them, insight into them, then you realize how you function as a human, then you become totally different, you know? You transform. You know? Then you become like, you cannot do what you used to do anymore. Oh. Then later on you see your mind, you just smile, laugh, and at peace with all things. You know? No matter what happened, you are still with the joy inside there. No reality, not what you think on. So whatever the thought try to actually condition living being into whether emotion or whatever, or even to cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to that whatever phenomena that arise to give meaning, all this is just thought, nothing else. And what is thought? Consciousness and its content, dependent originating, they come, they go, arise and pass away. No reality. No permanent unchanging entity. He know you, he know me. That's why everything is just that reality, what is, the suchness within nature, ta-ta-ta. And all this understanding will become clearer and clearer and clearer. And it will stabilize and deepen. Then after that, you will smile a lot and you will become very different. And you're full of joy. Life is really full of joy. Meaningful, wonderful, amazing. All this word will manifest. Because that nature that understand is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the conditioned world. No duality can entangle it. Then you start to appreciate life. You start to look at life totally differently with a new lens. The lens of wisdom that enable you to have the understanding, to appreciate life so differently. Then life become meaningful, wonderful, amazing. And life take a turn. And you yourself also will transform and become very beautiful. Then later on, you can become a blessing to all too, starting from your loved ones, your family members. Then later on, maybe your good friends, your brother, sister, sibling, and many, many others. So this is how Dhamma, when unfold, can actually help many cultivators of the way to become a blessing to all. Very good. Ingrid, you bring out very good condition today. Sadhu. And this understanding is very good, not only for you, for other Kayamita to develop as example too. Well, it's through all this that the understanding unfolds, when you realize it. Just like you mentioned, you go through puja, well, that is what you like. You like to go to the temple, light the candles and all things, then do the chanting, then develop contemplative training. And all the vibration and the Dhamma understanding are very conducive for all this to happen. That's why it can happen to you. And the way you learn also very good, because You have your affinity with my nature. Otherwise, it cannot be like that one. That year, 2008, when I went to AJBA give the talk, You, together with me, for came and requested me to come out, no, to conduct the meditation class, and the Subang class, Thursday class, actually come about because of you and me. For, of course, together with Sui An, and all this, they unfold not by chance. It's like meant to be. And before even when I decide to start the class, I remember Mifo hinted to me that you follow the Theravada tradition, the Burmese tradition, and don't talk too much about the Anapanasati and the rising and falling. So that time, deep inside my heart, I said, no problem. I said, depending on the particular person's affinity, if they have the affinity, nothing will happen. And really, true enough, though, ever since I started teaching and sharing from that day onward, even until now, you have completely no doubt at all. You never come and question me or ask me about the difference and all of it. No. You only came to see me at the retreat. That why this life initially you cannot accept Mayana teaching. But that was meant to be. Because after that I asked you to ask for forgiveness. You remember add in the word misled. Can
yes,
you remember?
Yes, ah, yes,
that one helped you. that one clear everything. Then after that, because you Mandarin educator and you can understand Mandarin, wow, you penetrate very fast. But the Heart Sutta is actually very amazingly wisdom teaching. That's why it's called the Heart Prajna, the Heart Sutta, from the heart, the wisdom that manifests from that nature. Prajna Paramita Sutta. So all this is meant to be sadhu to you.
Thank you, Radio.
Then you continue. Like just,
like just now Radio mentioned, we just how to say, you say appreciate every moment of living life.
Yes.
And then appreciate the pristine of life.
Pristine beauty and wonders of life.
Then
there's a lot of joy inside one. You, the understanding make you joyful, happy, and transform you completely. And you can come to terms with the reality of so many things.
Then I read upon this phrase in Chinese. It so it's quite matched with what Brother Teo mentioned just now. Appreciate every pristine beauty and wonders of life. Huh?
Oh, sadhu.
The Mandarin was like that. 享有生活的每一个历程. 享有就好,不去拥有.
Wow, sadhu. That's beautiful.
All this cannot be owned. All
yeah,
this cannot
yeah,
be owned,
cannot be owned, cannot be possessed. It doesn't belong to you.
Yes, only you just kind of enjoy it or
appreciate
it every moment, every second in our life journey,
correct.
In our life journey.
Yeah.
Do not try to possess
anything.
Do not cling
on
to
try
anything.
To cling on to it and own it.
So it was...
Now, these are beautiful realities.
So it really struck me because it linked to what Varadio used to mention, like just now you said pristine beauty and wonders of life.
Of life, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, 享受或者享有生活的每一个历程。享有就好,不去拥有.
Wow,
so,
sadhu. That one is a beautiful phrase.
I also appreciate it so much. That's why I would like to bring out to
sadhu,
share.
Sadhu, very good. Thank you.
That's about all, Radio. Thank you.
Thank you. Sadhu.
Thank you, Invi. Radio,
Yeah.
everyone. Radio, last Sunday you're talking about the four right effort.
Yes.
I don't know why last time when I hear you talking about it, I mean, it didn't like hit me or that. I mean, I didn't really appreciate that much. I know what was being said, but it didn't give a huge impact to me.
Impact, yeah, impact. Because at that time you are not ready. But when you are ready, you listen, different, no? The Dhamma really very different. But the same Dhamma is being expressed and shared. But the listener who has progressed, they receive it so differently. That's why now it has an impact on you. And it's so meaningful. Not only to you, to many Kayamita. Is also the same. You explain, you continue.
Yeah, it was more meaningful to me, and it kind of interests me. You know, that means it strikes me that it is something that I have to do, that it is very important.
Yeah, very important. In fact, the four right effort, especially the third and fourth one, they are all about the wholesome, right? View leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And they are very important to living beings who wants to have the good life, to resolve every issue amicably, to develop understanding, to develop all the appropriate, gentle, pleasant, good speeches that bring about harmony, understanding, love, compassion. Especially harmony, then give rise to joy and like give faith to people so that they have less fear. In fact, the gift of fearlessness is very important. When people come to you because they have fear, worry, anxiety, or problem, and you can use the Dhamma to free them from all this. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, calm them down and make them feel happy, confident. And that is the highest gift. And that type of parami, not easy to develop. That's why the third and fourth right effort cover that too. When you have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, you can do that. And many people, they will understand you differently. When they listen to you, they got some form of faith or no. And your vibration and understanding change them or no. I realize they listen or no. Then sometimes, for me, I think at times my wife, my daughter, and some Kavita, they also know. When I need to knock somebody, I will say it, but in the way that they can understand and accept it. Because not everyone you have to knock hard. There are some that need the knocking at the right time. But most of the time, you start with knocking, most of them don't want to listen. But when you start with listening to them first, then they will listen. Well, most of the time I will listen. Then I will ask them a few questions. Well, most of the time people bring. Then I say, I need to listen direct from you what you are going through. Then initially, most of them, when they started, they are quite reluctant to reveal the depth of their problem and situation. But my nature knows for you to come. He or she, there must be something very severe already, otherwise wouldn't come to the extent of wanting to meet up and all things. So what happened was, I will ask them to tell me briefly what happened. Then after a while, I will summarize and say, I can help you if you are willing to listen. Because these are not difficult things. They are more complicated matter than what you go through. What you go through is actually very normal and relatively mild. Then after that, as I explain, I will also ask them their background, whether they are Buddhist or non-Buddhist or whatever, or even traditional Chinese. Then after that, as I explain, of course, I will try not to touch on the word karma if they are non-Buddhist or not Chinese background and all those things. But once I explain to the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, they start to like develop the faith and the understanding. Then they review more, no? Then they share more. Then after that, their faith grow. Then they listen, and many of them develop understanding, and after that, joy. Especially a few that came through Christina and even Elsie also brought some. Then there are many Kayamitas who brought. In the early days, Sui An, Subangjaya, they're the most. So all this can become so beautiful is because of this four right effort. Of course, the first and two right effort is, well, your own purification to avoid all evil, to abandon right effort, to abandon, then prevent it from right. When you can do this already, then the third and fourth right effort is very powerful, very important. That's why it has an impact on you. Now I should let you explain. Manyan, sorry.
Radio, actually, for me, I didn't really understand the second one prior to this. I was thinking, how to prevent
it from arising. Yoni so manasikara, I already explained many times.
Now I understand. But before that, I was thinking, it will just come out, how to prevent it, how to suppress it.
Without yoni so manasikara, cannot. That's why I told you, Chan. Yoni so manasikara means wisdom at the moment of sense experience. It means the initial wisdom through Dhamma contemplation, second turning or first turning, or even some from third turning. So when you have means you have, means it will come and prompt you when you have the Dhamma understanding. And then you know how to attend to it. So that is how you can prevent it from arriving. And the best example was last time Alicia, you remember? After his depression for 16 years, when the wrong thought come, he know them inside out. He straight away tell of the thought. And now, he say, don't ask me to think that thought anymore. He say, because you have tormented me for 16 years. So the moment he arrives, he laughed. Then he say, enough, that word finished. So that one is like, not yoniso manasikara, but it's really yoniso manasikara. Well, it's put in the way she can understand it. Well, she see that wrong thought that created the wrong view in her that caused her suffering and misery. That's why from there, the wisdom free you, awaken you. And that itself is yoniso manasikara. Where is that wisdom? That's why he can respond, enough, finish.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Now that you also pick it out. In fact, a lot of Kayamita like you take time. Initially, when you are not so serious, you cannot see. But when you become serious, you start to see. And a lot of things like keep on arising on the Dhamma. Like song they all went through last night, Alicia, they all Pojin. They keep on seeing the Dhamma. Truth is everywhere. In the midst of life and nature, why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. Very good. You continue, Manya.
Yeah, brother. I used to think that brother, good speech, but you know, now that I observe myself, not really, you know.
Yeah. Because yeah, it has to be automatic one. Come out through understanding one. Not the one that try to copy or learn from books or learn from people. Of course, you can read up and try to remember. But I realize the one that through memory one cannot apply. The one that no need memory one that come through your understanding one spontaneously it can come out. Then it depends on causes and conditions. When causes and condition is there, it will flow one like very smooth one. That's why sometimes I also like very surprised. I my nature know that this person got affinity. Otherwise the Dhamma cannot flow out like that. Then for those without affinity one, nothing come out one. Very funny one. You want to say also like that Dhamma cannot come out. It's like telling you no point. This person cannot understand one, cannot receive one. And all this as you go through the cultivation, you will develop your own understanding. And you are right about this four right effort. Especially the third and the fourth one. They are very useful, very powerful. And the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path need the four right effort. Especially, you continue,
And I think if the four right effort is there, then the sati will be much more
stable. Because when you apply this Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort, you need sati yuan. Without sati, you cannot do the right thought, right speech, right action. You need to contemplate. You need to reflect. You need to be fully aware. You need to be on the what they call topic that you are trying to develop as the Noble Eightfold Path factors. Especially after you review the three types of right view, the spiritual right view, then develop the understanding of them, then apply them. You better summarize.
Yeah, 10:30.
Just now the alarm went off already.
So maybe I can share in another.
Another session.
My everyday life and how this four right effort kind of make me realize how other people can have the same kind of problem, and when they do not have this four right effort, then you know what happened to them.
That is a very good understanding. Human beings that don't have the four right effort get into big trouble. First, they cannot even see that they have this wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech that has arisen. Don't talk about right effort to abandon, but they can't even see that they have arisen them. And some arise already, some will get emotional, angry, and want to be right. The one that want to be right one, very difficult to help. Then the second right effort, no need to talk already to prevent it from right. They are completely out of that scope. Then the third one, of course, some will try to develop the appropriate kind. Nowadays, a lot of this management course, where the company send you for training or no, especially you are in the sales task force. Or the what they call service industry, where you got to talk nicely to people, then serve people well, and also and get business, increase the revenue. Oh, they really send you for those courses. They teach you how to do your sales, how to actually come out with all the speed, not only sales, scam also like that. All the prepared question and how to answer you actually terrible. That one also taught by the consultant. No wonder they put the word con in front. Contractor, consultant, all the con men job. Okay, we better end. Thank you so much, Wanya.
Thank you, Radio.
Let us rejoice with all the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we do the sharing of merit. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana etavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hito cha hito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko yamina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.